They feel threatened by such knowledge. Before the blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled Christian, you and I, this is the best and greatest good news that he knows us through and through. Yes. Then we know what to repent of.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. I got so upset I didn't know how to pray anymore. So I said, Lord, forgive me of my known sins and my unknown. Because I know I could screw things up, you know. I said, please forgive me. My mouth can get me in trouble. Ask my wife. She knows. Yeah. And I said, please forgive me, you know. That's how my prayer is, you know. And then when I couldn't believe it, when I saw that down on the ground, that body, what I was talking about when it came up, at the church came up. And the Lord spoke to me and said, how will you answer that? I want to hear your answer. How will you answer that? And I have to tell you, I couldn't. I couldn't say yes or no. And he said, well, you answered it right. Ezekiel had it right. If everyone would listen to Ezekiel, I'd move in their lives. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Only you know, God. Whew. Only you know. I don't know. The pastor don't know. My wife don't know. I hide everything inside. Only you know, God. Only you do. See, we were told, we thought we know everything. Tell everyone this, this, and that. And, you know, go out. You got a prophecy. Now, just run and go out and do it. And they all failed. And every minister, everyone that prophesied them are accountable for that one. I can't do it anymore, church. I can't do it. I can't listen to things that aren't of God for the body of Christ. I have a hard time. And I said, God, you got to make me love your people before I even get behind a pulpit again. I said, you have to help me to do this because I don't know how to do it. Now listen. God in Christ knows all the intricacies of our genetic makeup. He is fully aware of all the interrelated characteristics which we were inherited from our parents, grandparents, former forebears. He knows precisely why we are and why we are unique and why the special person he made us. No one else, not even my parents, know this much about me. In fact, we are often an absolute enigma to them. Sometimes we are very puzzling to them. But God knows you and I in this intimacy. He understands exactly why my inherited features influence me to behave as I do. Consequently, only he can treat you and I with utter integrity, complete understanding, and tempered with his Holy Ghost compassion. Only God in Christ by his precious spirit is fully aware of all the environmental influences which have been brought to bear upon our life since the day of conception. No human being does, not even your own mother and father. It is this infinite, incredible knowing that enables Jesus Christ to deal with you and I with dignity, with forgiveness, and with love. He knows all the strains and stresses and pressures that shaped us. You were mad at those strains. You were mad at this and you were mad. But God knew what was shaping you. He knew that, you know, the problem is back in the day, the church was comfortable. And they now, today, they're comfortably numb. Like that Pink Floyd song. This is exactly where they are. And so it's nice to come. Don't get me wrong. I love the worship here, please. This is no rebuke or correction. And I love being around with this fellowship with you guys and what's all happening. But I have to tell you something. God said, I am going to take that comfortably numb out of some people in this place. And I am going to remind them what I called them to do. And they're going to do it after today.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, hallelujah. Woo. He understands exactly everything we do. I'll just skip this one and go here. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only he alone can properly appraise the impact made on us by our parents, our home, our siblings, our schools are playmates. No counselor can. They try. Nothing wrong with them, but only the Lord knows this. Our teachers, our friends, and our all the other human associates, how they affected us. Only God knows what affected us. Only He knows the experiences, the griefs, the triumphs, the adventures, the work, the impact of books and films and thousands of influences that molded us as a man and a woman of God. Only He does. No one else knows what you read, what you do, the music. Only He knows all those little things. Now what? Powerful. Oh, my. It's only any wonder. You ever hear of Philip Keller? Philip Keller said this. It is any wonder that he cried from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Only God in Christ can clearly comprehend all my thoughts, all my hopes, all my fears, all my imaginations, all my emotions, all my unnecessary drama, all my deliberate choices, and all of my subconscious impulses. This is a very important statement here. And because He does, He deals with me in mercy. Listen to this. He deals with me in kindness. He deals with me in patience, long-suffering, justice, and total integrity. Oh, the grandeur and graciousness of such a Savior, such a friend, such a Father. We just forgot it. We just go mundane from day to day. We forgot that Psalm 139 was written, and we're only here because it was written a long time ago. That's the only reason I'm here now. I never thought I was going to be back more to a Christian fellowship, but guess what the Lord said? This Psalm 139 word, you can ask my wife. He told me you have to preach that at Martinsville Christian Fellowship. That was 2 months ago. You ready? So I'm burning up inside, wanting to. Huh? God said, no, no. I go up and see Ronnie. Ronnie say, he ain't here. Pastor ain't here. This. And all of a sudden we connected the other day. John said, hey. We said, hey. And here we are. Isn't that amazing? Now, only God in Christ. And because He deals with us like that, we should have such a gratitude and respect. In this dimension of being dealt with this good news. Too much bad news in the church. I want good news. I don't want stories. I want the Word of God. Amen. Huh? And don't get me wrong. I love fellowship, right? But you know what? It does not take the place of worship. Fellowship never does. And I'm talking about not. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love getting together. But your personal life, you have to worship. Just not here. Because I guarantee you, if you worship at home, this thing up here is going to just magnify. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what's the problem? Years ago, I never forget, I walked into a church and the pastor said, look, we get it. Our people, they're kind of dead. You know, they're kind of this, and that, he was telling me. And I said, well, okay. Well, he said, but after the worship, all of a sudden they start getting pumped up a little bit and they feel better about themselves, then maybe, you know, after that we'll start. I said, bro, listen, you got this backwards. Yeah, and maybe I shouldn't preach here. I mean, what was this? Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead or something? Some churches, I used to think that. Why am I seeking the living amongst the dead people? You know, I mean, gee, why should I go there? But the thing is, this man was saying that. And so when I got up, I said, listen, all you people, I just want to let you know that pastor said you're all dead. They went. And his wife said, I said, right, did you say that? Did you say that about them? I said, but I, you know what? I chose to prove them wrong. I said, if you worship at home, if you do that, if you worship at home all this time, you come in here. And I said, and some of you are just hidden. You just don't want to put up those hands. And man, let me tell you, at the end of that service, everyone was up. They said, we're proving somebody wrong. And they just start praising and worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. It is in this dimension of being to the outmost depth of our being that has drawn us to Christ with unbreakable cords of love, His love. We as Christians should be so joyful and feel so loved, for though He knows the best, He also knows the worst. He knows the noble, He knows the wrong, and He knows the deep yearnings of our spirit to be like Him. It really amazes me how Jesus treats us with utter truth and total understanding, and most of all with such respect, and we don't give His due to Him. He respects His creation. We should have such a respect for Him. We can come to Him anytime completely assured. He fully understands us, you and I, through and through. The revival that Jesus is talking about is the renewing of the knowing that He is mine and I am His forever. That's the personal revival. Can't have a big one. You need a personal one. I'm going to tell you right now. You'll do way better. I'm telling you. One person that loves God is a majority with them. Now listen to this. John 10:4 says this. When He has brought out all of His own, He goes ahead of them. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and all my sheep know me. Isn't that powerful? An Old Testament and New Testament shepherd I want to share, and it will break into this story. I know I'm breaking off a little bit, but you'll see it. It's winding up. I just need to ask, not because I'm saying, did this minister deep inside to some people already? I need a hand. Did it go somewhere? Sure. All right. Yeah. See, in the Old Testament, the shepherd was mostly behind. People say, no, it's not. I said, yes, it is. I did too much on this, years of this studying. I went out with the shepherd out in Figsboro one time. Yeah, I'm visiting an old man was telling me all about sheep when I was, they just looked at me, city boy, you ain't going to know nothing. You saw me. I was a mess when I got out there. Ted looked at me, can you hammer something or something? You know, remember you'd put my house together? I mean, I didn't know what a farm was. I got a farm. I didn't even know what to do, you know? But I have to tell you, this guy said, filled me in about everything. Now, the Old Testament, the shepherd was hind with the big hook, and the sheep went that way. But there was someone out in front, a bellwether. There was a bellwether out there. And so, but that bellwether was trained first here. That's why you snap out that leg and put him on your shoulder. You ever see that picture of Jesus? And well, he's right in his ear, teaching him. So when he gets up there, he hears everything. He hears, my sheep know my voice and will not follow another. So listen to this. So what happened was, so Jesus was behind and the enemy come, the bellwether do that little thing and that bell would ring and Jesus would hook him in. And you know, the shepherds back then would hook him in. Amen? New Testament shepherds. Because Jesus became the great shepherd, he's always out in front. Oh, hallelujah. He actually became the bellwether. And he's actually the one standing out in front saying, danger, danger, don't do that. This is how much he knows you. So listen, what I want to get are this. You will really love this. If he's out in front, any attack upon the sheep had to take him into account first. Uh-oh. Did you hear me? Couldn't it get to you? Well, brother, I got sick. It could have been worse if Jesus didn't take that account first. He slowed it down there a little bit. Yeah, you don't know how depressed I am. Oh, you won't know how depressed you will be if Jesus didn't stop the big hit. Now listen. So you get this. So whatever awaits us is encountered first by Him. Now, God is out in front of us. He is our good shepherd. So whatever awaits us, encountered first by Him, and the eye of faith will always discern His majestic presence out in front. When His presence cannot be seen, it is dangerous to move ahead. Comfort your heart with the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has himself experienced all the trials he asked you and I to endure. There's not one thing allowed to come your way unless it went through him. He's in front. Amen. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand, man. I got a lot of pain right there. You could have been worse. You know the problem with us? Huh? We were told we're not allowed to suffer. Wow. Yeah? Yeah, I heard preachers, and I couldn't believe it. One preacher told me, he said, I just race out that, in the flesh, what's that called? He said, I just race out that thorn in the flesh. We don't even go over that's no more. I said, what? And suffering scriptures. We're in the New Testament now. I said, really? Wow, Jesus. Listen, I understand that Jesus died for us so we don't suffer. But brother, I want to tell you, suffering and persecution will bring the biggest revival that you'll ever have. There was a lady that we know. My wife and I, if I can share a little story. I met my wife. We got married 9 years ago. I didn't want to get married, believe it or not. I didn't date 9, 10 years, and this lady here, 18. And we didn't want to get married or whatever, but then we did. We got married. And I want to tell you, so right after we got married, I want to tell you what God took us to compare things. She said, I want to go to Pennsylvania. So we ended up on one street where I used to sell the drugs, do all my things, and our building was here, prostitute home here, heroin house here that she used to talk to every night to the guy around 1 in the morning, and across the street, crack house. A few people dead once in a while. This. We had a little old building. We didn't have chairs. And so what we did, we put the carpet down, rolled it up, old carpet. First time, first opening of the doors, about 20-some people, nowhere to sit. Some of them couldn't read, so we went and got kids' Bibles because they were all drug addicts. The state police don't even go in here. We went up there because of my son. By the way, my son's a minister now. You guys used to pray for him, right? And he came here. Y'all laid hands on him and everything. And so what happened was we were there, and the next big service that we had, we were trying to get something going. And the next thing, I think second or third service, 40 people walk in the door, and 40 people got saved. And they would have to walk through the bar. They would start crying. Prostitutes, Tony said, you can take communion. Come on with me. No, I can't. Tony would grab her. And no, what's your name? And Grace, I can't. Yes, you can. Come here. And next thing you know, we come home at night. There'd be a woman waiting for Tony. Miss Tony, you said you was going to read the scriptures with me. It'd be 12 at night. We never saw so much hunger in anyone. And then we come back to the church. And I said, my God, we're dead. We're not alive. Those people on that carpet, floor half cleaned up, everything, just want Jesus. That's all they wanted. They wanted to be set free from the bondage they were in. Now listen, I said all this. Why? I want you to understand this really big. Those people been through a lot of stuff. I preached part of this message there. Yeah. And one girl, you're going to laugh when I say, yeah, he even knows where you wake up. Well, she was like a prostitute. And she said, amen. Well, like was looking at me. I said, yeah, isn't that credible that he knows that and still loves you? He knows where you're at, where you're going. People was getting set free, getting healed off of drugs. You won't believe it. Everything, miracle after miracle that you want to see. And then we went to the church and started training pastors and talking to leaders, and it was dead. I said, no wonder. And I said, I told this pastor, what do you do for your congregation? He said, well, I make sure I have conferences and I make sure I have this. I mean, I said, no, I don't talk to you, the pastor. What do you do for it? You have people. You don't need everything else what you have. I'm here to tell you today to Pastor John, he has the very people in this room. It's not too late to get started again. You cannot. You have too much of Psalm 139. Do you know why God, he doesn't get upset with you, but you know what he does know? What he put into you. So if you're not singing, if you're not prophesying, if you're not evangelizing, if you're not going to be that prophet, if you're not going to be that apostle, if you're not going to be that pastor, and the pastor wants you to get involved, but you might not want to, but at night, God's nudging you to do it. You don't know who you are cheating. How can you go through this world as an alien and on this journey and don't touch one person with the word of the Lord? How? God wants to know how. How can you do it? Well, I'm not an evangelist. No, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist. You are evangelist. Everyone does that. You are. You have such good news in you, but can I tell you why? You feel inferior. The world has beat you up. The finances and all that did it, but I'm here to tell you, I saw that vision. The church rose up and was ready to take anything on. And no weapon formed against this church will ever prosper. Yeah. Listen. So whatever awaits us is encountered first by him. Comfort your heart. Well, let me say this. First by him, and the eye of faith can always discern his majestic presence out in front. When his presence cannot be seen, it's dangerous to move ahead. Comfort your heart with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has experienced all the trials he asked you and I to endure. He would not ask you to pass through them unless he was already there, meeting you when you get to the other side, and unless he was sure that the paths were not too difficult or strenuous for you. What a blessed life we live, move, and have our being. Not anxious to see far down the road, nor overly concerned about the next step. Not eager to choose the path, nor weighted down with the heavy responsibilities of the future. But quietly following Jesus, the Good Shepherd, one step at a time. Church, he already went before us. He walked our path before we were ever born. That's how he knows we can walk it. And when you say, well, I don't have faith to do it, I'm not sure, I need a confirmation. I am so tired of Christians needing a confirmation. That makes me sick to my stomach. Can't even find it in the Bible properly. The only thing on confirmation in the Bible is someone will get, like that man gave up and gave a word of the Lord, and someone, well, I need a confirmation. You know, go somewhere else, get the confirmation. I don't know what you do. But I don't understand this confirmation deal. When they were talking about that confirmation, they was talking about business and some other things, where two or three. But I'm going to tell you something. My father in the Lord also said, you know, Brother Wilson, you ever hear the saying, God said it, receive it, and what's the and believe it?
That settles it,
right? Yeah, and that settles it? He said, Brother, let me tell you what I learned in my life with his hand up. God said it. That settles it. Woo! Huh? You don't have to believe it or not. Do you think for 1 minute that Peter got up that day and said to himself, do you believe this? Do you think he got up and said, okay, shadow, heal people?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, when I walk by, heal people. He didn't even know. He was just walking. Watch this. He was just walking with the Lord, and his shadow was healing everyone behind him.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Where's that power at in the church? Huh? Where's that at? No, come on now. No, you got to hear this. But this is what people don't understand. They didn't decide all this. They were just as surprised when miracles happened and everything, because they got so exuberant and was talking about it. And then Jesus said, listen, don't worry about that. Be happy that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. Huh? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In fervent prayer, Paul had a fervent prayer for believers, spiritual sight. We see how important it is to fully appreciate all that God has done and will do through Christ. He prayed that the eyes of our understanding, listen to this, the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, Ephesians 1:18. Each believer has been given new eyes to discern spiritual truths. As we keep our hearts turned to God, he will help us to see with our spiritual eyes all that he has done for us and all he has given to us in Christ. Psalm 90:12. Listen, remember I was talking, he put in the book all of our days. Listen to this. Psalm 90:12, Moses speaking. Teach us, that word there means use them wisely. Teach us to number our days. Amen. Listen to this, church. Watch. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. In Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God looks at life from beginning to end. In the light of the brevity of life, verses 4 and 6, in the realization of God's righteous anger, Moses makes a plea to God for understanding. Church, get this. Please, from my heart to yours. Teach us to remember our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Amen. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? So let me tell you something. You imagine now with this information that God knows each step. Oh, what are you saying, Tim? Well, okay, you ready? God? Yeah, I'm going this way. Do you know that? Okay, I'm going this way. Do you know that? Yes, I was already over there. I was there. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. Been working hard. I mean, it could be something as anything. The deer ate all my garden. I don't know. Some things, whatever happens. And God said, I know. I saw that years ago. I didn't miss one of those. I didn't miss one little thing. If I know the hairs on your head, if you're in the palm of my hand, and if I told you, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb, but you don't understand what I suffered in the ridicule and the people. And he said, all you have to do is ask the fathers of faith. They went through that too, but I saw it before it happened. God just wants us to be strong and do exploits in him. He's been trying for years. It got stagnant. The church did. And I want to tell you, quit trying so hard with some things and some people. Don't get mad at this statement. What God has made crooked, no man shall make straight. Amen. We do unnecessary counseling, unnecessary this, and unnecessary that. But and counseling will take away the move of God. It takes away the move of God. Because guess why? You will always know if people need a lot of counsel, they don't read their word, because the word would take care of it. If you read the Bible, and you ready? And if you really want delivered out of your problems, do the work of the Lord while the day is light. Just do the work of the Lord. God will deliver you. Yeah, you're not. And no one's perfect. I mean, come on. Just be who you are. God never meant to change your personality. He just changed your heart. Amen. You know? Yeah, a lot of people wish he changed mine, my personality. You don't understand a lot of people. They just wish. Yeah, God, really, he's a nice guy, but man, you know, do something with him. And I don't blame him. It was on for years. But I have to tell you, with my salvation, I got a real simple thing, and I'm going to end with this. I was demon-possessed, and now I'm God-possessed. That's how I am. That's what happened. So if you realize today, that Christ is ahead of you. Everything that comes to you has to account him first. I'm here to tell you, you're a blood-bought, a holy possession, a special, special body of Christ, a beautiful bride. You, ready, are his people, the apple of his eye. If you know this and study Psalm 139, you will have the power to know, oh, I was already here. Right. He's out in front. I'm going to follow him. You know how they used to make tablelands? You know what they used to do to a tableland? The shepherd go up, take out all the weeds, all the rocks. Shepherd would take it all out. They would corral the sheep over here. So when they would corral all the sheep, and that was bad. That was like a local church. But the thing is, you know, once they all get together, that familiarity stinks. And so they're all in the church, right? They're all in that corral while the shepherd's up there. And the people listen to this spiritually. The sheep down there is wondering, where's the shepherd? Where's the shepherd? We're butting heads. That's why they put oil on the head, so they can just slide right down. So the thing is, what happened is the shepherd goes up to the tableland, takes all the rocks, all the poisoning plants, all that, does everything, clears it all out, gets everything set up, and he opens it up, and then the shepherd goes up. Now, in an Old Testament tableland, there was only a fence this big all the way around. There was no gate. But the shepherd would do this. Lean up on that side of the fence, and the feet be there. So when the sheep come, the shepherd would just say, no. And the sheep would go back. Just like Jesus. So the sheep never jumped over the fence, never thought the grass was greener on the other side, because everything he wanted was in that tableland. God is trying to give every individual here a tableland. He has pulled up everything now. This is a new day here. He has pulled up all the weeds in front of you. He has set off the rocks so you don't trip. He has pulled out everything that he could out of the ground that would be poison and hurt you. There's a tableland. There's the promises of God in that tableland. There's finances in that tableland. There is music in that tableland. There is the word of God in that tableland. And those sheep were so well fed. And you know what they did with the sheep that were so well fed on that tableland? They sold their fleece for a lot of money, because they were beautiful and this and that. I'm not saying us about us. What I'm trying to tell you is God's making us that beautiful sheep. He's making it. Now, I'm going to end with this. When the bellwether does this, when the bellwether does this and shakes it, all the sheep go into one fold. And they make a V. And then they duck their head. So when the wolf sees it, he doesn't see one sheep. He sees a head and says, that's the biggest sheep I have ever saw. And the Lord says to you this day, come together. Come together. Join together. Come together. You can't fight this alone. When Satan looks, and when that wolf comes, he's going to see one big sheep and one great shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.